It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 495. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com and use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. I am collecting voicemails, and on the next show, I'm going to get to the voicemails, and I'll tell you in a second what we're doing tonight. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. And Facebook.com/MikeTechShow and Facebook.com/MikeNationNet. And we also have the wiki at MTSWiki.com. Got a jam-packed show tonight, and it's all stories from the consulting trenches. I have lots of things that I haven't covered because I've been catching up on email and everything else. We're going to start off by mentioning again Show 500 meetup. Details will be in the show notes where you can sign up, or you can, if you need a room, the venue information is at fwholiday.com. It's a Holiday Inn, Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, on March 22nd. It's a Saturday, going to begin at 11 a.m. It's a Mike Tech Show, Show 500 celebration, but it's also a Tech Vets meetup. Carrie Holzman will be there. He's already got his airline booked, and I'll be picking him up at the Philadelphia International Airport on late Thursday night before the weekend, and then he's flying back Sunday night back to Arizona. We have a whole day planned from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the venue. If you are attending, please send me an email and let me know so I can have an exact count for lunch. We have a nice buffet lunch that's going to be provided. This is completely free. Going to have great door prizes and giveaways at the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. You get to meet others from the Mike Tech Show and Tech Vets family, and we're looking forward to meeting you. The first thing I have to mention, today I was on generator again. Woke up at 7 o'clock, and I don't know what just stirred to wake up because my alarm was set for 7:30. 7 o'clock I get up, and I'm heading to the bathroom, and I notice we have no power. So I was like, well, we didn't have any storms or anything last night. I wonder why we don't have any power. And I hear a knock on my bedroom door. It's Ryan. And he says, hey, can I come in? I'm like, yeah, come on in. And what's up? And he says, well, the electric line to the house from Pico Electric, from the pole across the street, is down. And it's wreaking havoc on the street because it's now a live wire hanging in the street. So traffic's being blocked. He called Pico to report the outage, and then he called the local police because it is a safety hazard. They said they already got a call, and they were already heading over. Well, as it turns out, I had no power. It seems like a car or a vehicle crashed into the pole in the morning, and that pole was leaning, and it pulled and it ripped the electrical line from my house, ruining the corner of the roof of the house. We had no power all day until 4 o'clock. They had to literally erect a whole new telephone pole, and they redid how my line's coming across. We were up and running with power about 4 p.m. So it went from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I was very lucky to have the generator because I was actually able to help some clients in the middle of this. And I was able to have my computer, and I had every intention of still doing the show tonight, even if I was on generator, because that worked once in the past, as we know, when I had the ice storms. But it brings up the topic, and I'm not going to pound you over the head again with this topic, but it makes you think of disaster recovery, business continuity, and not just for yourself, but your clients. If your clients are in a position of maybe being without power, how do they get to their applications? Which leads us to the first story for In the Trenches here. One of my biggest clients, a financial advisor, was impacted terribly by the ice storms and the power outage. It was 5 days they had no power. During that time, I was speaking with the president of the company and putting together a plan to move all of their major applications and their email to be cloud-based. They have a piece of software called Advisor's Assistant. They went to the cloud. And then their document management software, which I hinted about this with customer service last time. This is Cabinet NG, and it's a document management. And instead of local-based, we went cloud-based. And with that, we had to change a couple things for the way they were communicating. One of the first things, and I've had to run this before for a client, it was OpenVPN. That's a free implementation of VPN software and a client that's available, and I will link this in the show notes. We had to install the OpenVPN client. Now there's a login and password once you connect, and we have now an encrypted tunnel back to Cabinet. Now we have to configure their existing desktop client to now go to a different IP address instead of the internal. And then there was some other information like a customer code and some things we had to enter. This is where we had to wait for all that data to be migrated, where I shipped them the drive, we missed the FedEx date and time, the one day. Well, now we were having a major issue with just one user. Every single desktop I was able to connect last weekend with no trouble. Sunday, I reported to the president, look, I have just one problem. There's one person where I'm getting a username or password failure. So that's all that should have been done. They should have just reset the user's password. Monday, there was snow. People didn't make it in. So Tuesday, they called tech support, and tech support for Cabinet NG remoted in, and they uninstalled the client without even looking at anything else. They just ripped the client out. Then they ran a special utility to make sure that all the registry entries and everything was removed. Instead of investigating what's going on and everything, they just have a procedure that they operate by blinders, and I see this a lot with different companies. They can't see beyond their script for trying to help someone. And with this, they spend all day, they cannot connect. They can't connect. Actually, this is Monday, not Tuesday. Excuse me. So president contacts me, and I said, look, I'll come out Tuesday afternoon, and I'll see what's going on. So Tuesday afternoon, after I worked all day at one client, I'm now sitting there with tech support, and we're trying everything to get this client installed. It keeps erroring out. Their client install errors, and it refers back to a problem of C++ 2008 redistributable client, and there's a problem. We uninstalled it. We Googled all of the errors, and we did everything that we were reading. No matter how insane, we tried it. We tried everything. 3 hours. We're just getting nowhere. And I said, please escalate this to your engineers. Come up with some different things to do. We'll meet back same time on Wednesday afternoon. And I went over yesterday afternoon, and this time, there was a couple things I wanted to try. I tried to scan SFC for scan the file system, you know, the SFC/scan now, and that scans all the system files, and it will replace any that are bad. Came up clean. I also ran tweaking.com. I ran the entire gambit, all 33 or whatever of the items. I mean, I unchecked a couple obvious ones that were not related. Ran that. That took a half hour because I really thought it might be these registry permissions and stuff. Oh, man. We even tried the Microsoft fix it. There were a couple that were supposedly fixing the exact error we're having. Well, no joy there. It didn't. Ran all that. Did not fix it. After a reboot, tried to install the client. You get to that one point, it errors out. So now I call their tech support. And he gets on the line and he says, Mike, we do have a couple things we want to try. And first, he tried one thing and it didn't work. He says, we have another idea. Go to another client's machine and the whole directory for the client where it's already been installed under program files x86, we want you to copy that up to the server, then go over back to the workstation, copy it down to this client, and then we're going to do something. I said, yeah, because you got the registry. He said, well, we'll register the DLLs. And I was like, okay, great. I copy that directory over. They register 3 DLLs. Guess what? Connects. No problem. I was like, why couldn't you have done this Monday? But it's very interesting how now my client's upset because I've now invested 6 hours in this, maybe 5 hours, that they're billed, or at least it's going to come off the retainer. So we started getting into a war of emails back and forth where I backed off between me and Cabinet NG tech support on pointing fingers. You know, I mean, certainly it wasn't my fault. What they're saying is, look, it's a Windows issue that was on that workstation. It's not our client. I don't know. I know my client's unhappy because it took that long. I'm in the middle. And I know this happens, and this probably happens with you occasionally with a client. You're kind of in the middle. You got to spend the time. You got to solve the problem, and you got to be compensated for the time that you're spending, especially since it's not your fault. My client clearly understands that it's not my fault and has no problem with me. As a matter of fact, I'm the one that shepherded the solution. I'm the one that kept hammering them to try to think out of the box and let's try to approach this with, it's your software, man, let's get this client to work. I just wanted to share that, and just an interesting dilemma. My client has had it up to their eyeballs with power outages and things related to technology. We have an email migration that we're putting off for a couple weeks so things can settle down, because now they got all of their apps cloud-based except email. So we're going to be doing a SureWeb migration going from their Small Business Server 2008 Exchange Server 2007, and we're going to move all that to a SureWeb-based 2010 solution for Exchange Server 2010. I have to get the connections in for SMARSH for the encryption. I also have to have live offices journaling. I got to make sure, so there's lots of things I have to plan for this very delicately, and we kind of moved that to mid-April, so I will follow up again in April. That's just one story. Story two, this past Saturday, my oldest son and I had 4 systems that are brand new for an insurance agent, a very very big insurance company, but an insurance agent for this company. And we had the migration of 4 workstations to 4 new workstations. This went great. It went exactly the way it's planned. And I wanted to go over some of the procedures and things that I do when I'm approaching this migration. First thing, I had 2 external drives with FABS Auto Backup for Tech, went to two of the systems and started immediately identifying the main profile and then backing that up. There's no Outlook mail, thank God, involved in the migration. All mail was done via the web. And I'm like, great. I love that. Makes it a little easier when you don't have a mail migration in the middle of this from the client, because that's where you're always going to get stuck when you're switching, or at least that's where problems can creep up. I have that running on two systems. My son is unboxing and getting the new computers ready. So this is perfect. So once those two are backed up, I take those two drives to the next two computers, and then my son and I start replacing the other one. So we're like moving, getting everything done. Once I got the new computer, the first thing I do is run Ninite. I run Ninite and I take a look at the situation and say, what do I want to install? These are brand new Dell Optiplexes, Windows 7 Professional, with 8 gigs of memory. Very nice. I spec them out. So we got Core i7, 8 gigs of memory. These things are kick butt Optiplexes, and they're upgrading from some real older computers. I run Ninite and I select everything like Java, make sure Adobe Reader. I like 7-zip. I want my Microsoft Security Essentials, my Malwarebytes. And then I sold them the pro license. I said, now we're standardizing on all of your security. It's going to be right now Security Essentials. And for the time being, I know the pros and cons. Malwarebytes Pro, and we put Woot. And my son's very good at going and hitting Woot for all of the browsers that they're using, and they are all using Chrome and Internet Explorer. What Michael did, he hit, once I told him they were ready, he would go by and he would set the schedules for Malwarebytes and then registered them, with the pro version. I brought some licenses, and then Security Essentials, he set the schedule for that, for the full scans weekly, and then installed Woot on all the browsers. And it's nice having a helper come by and do all those little things while I'm doing a FABS restore on the next system. Now, it sounds like a lot of time, but we were 5 hours because it was four computers. But I'll tell you where we slowed down: installing the network printer drivers. So as I looked, we really didn't have a good drivers for 64-bit because their old systems were 32. So I went online, downloaded the 64-bit drivers. Now, there's a little thing I want to add to the story. They have a shared directory on the main owner's computer where they share files for the office. It's not very efficient, and especially because that's a system he's using. I said, you really want to get this off and put it somewhere else? And he said, you know, that's what I've been thinking of, putting a server. And we had the server discussion, which is, do you really need a full-blown server, or are we just talking about some simple storage? A NAS device, network-attached storage. And you know I love Synology. I said, I think we should get a little Synology server. We could put it in your office here off to the side. I can even hook an external drive and have it back up itself every night and have everybody store files. They have very small, maybe a couple gigs of files. So we're not talking a lot of files. So, you know, 4 1-terabyte drives in a RAID 10 scenario, I mean, that should be fine. I'm happy with that solution because they have very, very little files. And what I'm going to do is I've already sent him the links for, using my Amazon link, for the Synology and the drives that we can put in there. And then I'll go back, copy all of them, map everybody back to there, and we're good. I have not had a phone call. I've never done a migration of that many systems and not had one issue. FABS did a wonderful job of copying all the settings from Internet Explorer and Chrome, which is where they live, and also their desktop. They had lots of shortcuts that launches a website for particular applications that they need to do that are all web-based, and they copied beautifully. This was a perfect implementation. This is just a perfect workstation migration that using Fabs and using Ninite, and then it was just Office 2007, and they had the media and the licensing, so that was easy. And this is something else to remember. Anytime you're going to be doing a migration for new systems, you have to have that talk with the owner about all of their applications, and do they have the install files? Do they have the media? Make sure you have plenty of time before you're going to migrate. And that was my talk last week prior to showing up on Saturday and doing this migration. You got to make sure they have all of their software, whether it's an install file or, like I said, media. And that's what made it good. It was going in with a plan, going in where the owner had already prepped. I wanted everybody's login and passwords. They already had all that for me. They had their passwords if I had to test applications. So we had a nice sheet with everything that I needed. And it went flawlessly with no issues. That's exactly how it's supposed to be. And I'm going to have several more of these as clients now move from XP to Windows 7 or Windows 8. And this is exactly how I would want to approach those upgrades. Brings us to the big problem of the week, which was a financial advisor that has a server. Well, actually, excuse me, it's not a financial advisor, it's an attorney. And it's in an office that's shared with a financial advisor. But the attorney's server, it's an old server. It was pre-built before I was ever involved. And it's running Windows Server 2003, and they can't get it to boot. Now, I'm tied up all day. I forget if it was a Tuesday or Wednesday. The days are blurring. I think it was Tuesday. I dispatched Ken. Ken was able to head over there, and he diagnosed the situation. System couldn't boot. Looked like two things had to be replaced: the power supply and the CMOS battery. So he went to the store, got the power supply, and that was not easy because this is a real old power supply. So they had to really dig to get a power supply that matched all the connectors that you need for this old server. He gets that, is able to power up the box. The OS boots, but the data drives are not accessible. And one of the things he noticed with the two data drives, one of them is clicking really bad. A click, 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 real bad. So we know we got a hard drive problem. So he calls me and he says, "Mike, I don't want to mount these drives. We got to get the data from them." And I said, I agree. And they had an external drive there that we used for backups. I said, "Bring that and bring the drives, bring it over to my house." And that night we sat, and yeah, it was Tuesday night, and we took a look at the drives, and I'm going to give you a tip. One of the drives would not, the one that clicked, and I believe these are mirrored data drives, and that's why one of them just click, 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 it would not mount. Couldn't get it to mount. Put the other drive in, mount it right up, but you couldn't see the files. You could just see a couple directories, you know, the system information directory, but there were no other directories. And I'm like, I know the data is there because when I did a property on the drive to see how much files, it's using 10 gig of space, which is all their data. I know they didn't have much. It's only a couple users for this very, you know, small law firm. 10 gig of data, but we couldn't see it. Here's the big tip. Go to folder options. I don't care what the operating system is, and I'm typing it right now. Folder options, then click view, and make sure hide protected operating system files is unchecked. Do not hide empty drives. Do not hide extensions. click Show Hidden Files, Folders, and Drives. But the big one is Uncheck Hide Protected Operating System Files. That was the one that then all of those directories appeared. And I copied them one by one over to my local hard drive, and it added up to 10 gig. And I looked at the files, and they were all those files. I then took that external drive. We made a server directory, copied everything to it. And then Ken was over there yesterday afternoon to install that on her machine. She was able to get to her files, but at first, when he took that there, could not see those files. So he had to do that, those same steps and turn on, or turn off, actually uncheck the hide protected files. Once we did that on her system, she was able to access all of those files. So big tip when you're working with drives that are coming out of other servers or machines, you know, you want to do everything you can. And I was very prepared to pull out the Zero Assumption Recovery, ZAR, to start looking to see if we had to recover the files. But there was nothing damaged on the one drive. The other drive, the mirrored image of that, clearly damaged. This is another client where we're going to have the Synology NAS discussion, because that's where they don't need a big server. They need just something with some nice RAID that can, you know, for protecting the disks, and then everything's going to be fine. Got to make sure the backups are working. That's another thing. So this was a client that did not want to spend any money. So they're not a retainer client. Oh, they will be now. Now they're welcoming that so I can watch their backups. And I would only get called to this client whenever there's a problem. This is the thing. What you have to do is leverage when there is an emergency and you come to their aid and you solve it. Make sure that now we start talking about the backup solution that they wouldn't embrace, Shadow Protect. They wouldn't embrace any kind of replacement for that old hardware. And they didn't want the expense of having a monthly retainer. They didn't see the value of me charging for a couple hours a month. Oh, now they want to do that because now I can be watching their backups every night. I can get an alert. They now have priority if there's an emergency. So there's lots of things that come with being a retainer where they are pre-buying the time for me to assist them. And now that there's the emergency and we solved it, now they're going to embrace that. So it's unfortunate that companies have to do that. I tell this story, and Ken is in the chat. He'll recognize this. When I was a network manager at a very large corporate company, I always felt it was my job to sometimes take the organization that where they wouldn't embrace doing something that we needed the budget for or we had to do it. I always thought it was my job to hold them by the neck, let them peek over the edge of the cliff, but not let them fall. But they had to see that it was a long drop and that they need to do this or they will drop. So I wouldn't let them go off the cliff, but sometimes you had to take them to the edge and let them peek and say, it's pretty ugly down there. This is our exposure. You need to pony up in the budget for us to do this, or this is going to happen. And that's how sometimes you need to do that with an organization to get them to embrace what you're trying to do in best practices, in trying to have a stable, secure, reliable infrastructure. And there's certain basics and things that you have to implement in order to achieve that. And that's the basis that I operate from and that Ken operates from. So when we're dealing with clients, that's some of the things, you know, these are fundamental things. And we make sure that we take care of it. So there was actually, with all of the problems, this was actually a very successful week because we solved everything and the clients are happy. Tomorrow afternoon, there's an opportunity Ken and I are walking into, so we're keeping our fingers crossed. We may be taking on a big client for support. We're going to meet with them tomorrow afternoon, so keep our fingers crossed so we could be adding some more clients. I think that's it for tonight, but I have some music, and there's a reason I have some music, and I will explain. But before that, if you use Amazon for anything for purchasing, use my link. Share my link. Friends, family, everybody. It's amazon.micnation.net. There, your price is the same, but it helps support the Mike Tech Show, and it certainly keeps things like the generator going and the lights on. It really helps. Please keep using that, and I thank you and everybody for using my Amazon link. It really helps support the show. Thank you very much. And don't forget, if you're coming to show 500, make sure that you email me so I can count you and make you part of that count. The music for tonight, this week, and now we're getting off tech a little bit here, but so we're going to have a little fun. I love Linkin Park, and so does my youngest son, Tyler. So Linkin Park's coming to a venue August 15th in Camden, New Jersey, the Susquehanna Bank Center. I think that's what it's called now. But they're coming with two other groups that I'm less familiar with. And one of the groups is AFI. I know they've been around a while, started, you know, finding out who they were. But the other group is 30 Seconds to Mars. And I've really never embraced them. So I started looking at their music last night, and I came across a song that is a popular song that, you know, by 30 Seconds to Mars, but this is the acoustic unplugged version of it that was live. And I found this and I said, oh, this is cool. You know what? I'm going to play this because I like playing those kind of different takes on a song. So give a listen. It's called Kings and Queens. Here we go.
Darkness comes at dawn. These lessons that we've learned.
That is 30 Seconds to Mars, the unplugged version of Kings and Queens, and I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed the show. That's it. There will be a show this weekend. There will definitely be a show before next Thursday night, so show 496 will happen. It's going to either include dedicated to one particular problem from a listener in the chat, Kate, or if that isn't resolved yet, or if that's not ready, I will catch up on voicemail and email. Hope you can tune in. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter, so I will alert you to when I'll be recording that live over the weekend. All right, that's it. Everybody stay safe, stay warm. Have a great week, great weekend, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.